We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He came in on his white horse.
I thought it was just a bug.
And he went to Disneyland with his kid during the day, I guess, to celebrate his birthday. And he got his nice private jet.
I have never heard the song Rhinestone Cowboy before this moment.
And he strolled in there.
True story.
And he played his butt off.
Left one throw on the field, I thought, which was the Claypool one that turns into 0 points.
Yep.
Has to be led out there.
Yep.
Maybe was there a throw you remember that blatantly should have been picked off? Because that had been one of the little caveats to his run of
Derwin
turnover
Derwin James
free play.
Had 1 foot in on that play where he threw it kind of behind Freiermuth.
Yeah, he threw kind of the prayer ball down the sideline.
Do you know this
out.
Is the first time in his entire career? This is an insane stat.
Five straight games.
Five straight without a pick, dude.
9 touchdowns, no picks, 104 rating. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. I do think.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. I do think, like, you have to put in the caveat that he is still limited. He and they are working very well within those limitations. But if I was going to be grading him on a curve anyway this year, I have to give him a good grade these last five games. A very good one.
You think he proved again last night that Ben Roethlisberger is a read and react feel quarterback?
Yeah, I think that, the run every single per. You know, it was a bad joke when everybody made it. They said, "Yeah, I bet you he's going to petition the Steelers to just stay at home and not practice all year."
But we saw it coming because of what he's done in the past, what he did against Cincinnati last year, in the COVID games where he hasn't been allowed to practice. He's got 7 touchdowns and no interceptions. And the Steelers averaged 37 points per game.
I still have to throw in the caveat from last night, though. They scored 23 on quote-unquote normal drives. They had 2 drives that totaled 18 yards for touchdowns. Like, that has to be brought up here. They had 300 yards of offense in that game. That's it. Like, I can't. It's very good for them. It is probably the best thing they have going that he looks like he's going to continue to play solid football.
But he played, think about this, and this is why there is still a massive gulf and divide between Ben at 39 years old and mediocre Mason Rudolph. They had no run game whatsoever, 0, zilch against the worst run defense in the NFL. Their offensive line stinks and is getting no push.
Well, there's a huge difference from last year.
And he still had a big game.
There's a huge difference from last year, and it was one that I was not willing to use as a valid excuse for him last year, and I still don't think it should have been, but it obviously changed some of his stats. The drops aren't really showing up as much, especially from the guy who had most of them last year, Deontay Johnson. He doesn't have a single drop that he's been credited with. They show that tennis ball thing. The next play, he goes out and makes a great touchdown catch.
He did have a fumble the week before, but...
Yeah, but that's after he's caught the pass. I think that they're catching more passes. I also think he loves Freiermuth. Freiermuth, apparently, because he called himself Pat Freiermuth in the player intros.
But Collinsworth called him Freiermuth, and so did Michaels the entire game.
Do you go by what the guy himself says or no? Or
Al Michaels doesn't, and he's one of the greatest broadcasters of all time.
Al Michaels has never eaten a vegetable.
Okay. More power to him.
So I question his judgment. It was that, the pronunciation thing, but also... Ben making it a point to say the one guy I was in contact with the most this whole week that I couldn't practice was Pat. I mean, was that not predictable?
It was. I think that it emboldens Ben. It gives him more leverage. It gives him more power to pretty much say to Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin, let me do what I want. And I think that has a law of diminishing returns. I think the Steelers, as we saw last year with the way the second half of the season went, can only go so far with that. But he proved yet again, don't overload me with stuff. Don't, like, put me in a box and say, this is what we're going to do. Let me kind of make it up on the fly. You know, and the problem with that, though, is you've got a young offense and you've got 10 guys that when you're ad-libbing, when you've got this jazz kind of Ben Roethlisberger is going to just free flow and do his thing, when you've got Antonio Brown and dudes like that around, they can keep up in the band. But when you've got Kendrick Green in, as your center and...
It's an illegal man downfield penalty or something else waiting to happen almost
every
time.
But I don't think there's any doubt this is where Roethlisberger is at his best. And I just, like, you can't recreate it week to week. That's the problem. You can't tell him now for the Bengals game, hey, stay home again and don't practice, right? I mean, I don't... Does anybody really think they should do that? Craig, is that... No. You have harebrained ideas. You're now a boss. Would you tell Ben... Be a substitute teacher for your kid, and we'll see you in Cincinnati
like
for ribs
Clemens,
at the Montgomery Inn on Saturday?
The Roger Clemens rule?
Well, as a coach of talent now, I recognize you have to coach people differently. Not everybody's the same. Some people perform better in this way. Others perform better in that. The results to me show me Ben, no practice last year, now this year. I'd at least give it a shot again.
The best argument he has for being allowed to do what he wants is that Canada's play calls suck. It's not like an affirmative argument on his behalf, like something he's doing. It's look at what the guy you're actually paying to scheme up the offense is coming
the
up
The compromise
with.
For me is we saw Ben even at the start of the game. He's under center. He did some play action plays. I don't think that Ben has a total aversion to giving the ball to Najee.
Okay.
If you could say, Ben, pretty much do what you want, but that doesn't mean throw the ball 45 times.
I mean, I thought he proved earlier this year that he understood that that wasn't necessarily the best path to victory. Their first couple drives are not bad, you know? Like, when they were doing sort of the scripted stuff, a 42-yard drive for a field goal, a 68-yard drive on downs, and a 64-yard touchdown drive, that's pretty good results. I think you can find bowls of porridge that work for both sides here. And that's going to be the only way that they keep putting up points. Because if it's, hey, let's go back to what Coach Matt thinks
I'll tell you
might
what,
work
one of the things
against Rutgers in a Big Ten game.
I stayed up and watched the post game. Tomlin, very short with his answers, very clipped answers. He's the defensive guy. You know, he's standard is the standard next man up guy. So that was a poor reflection on him. Whereas, listen to Roethlisberger here. This is after a loss, mind you. Hold on here. Here it is.
What a crazy game. We had three series in the first half, 3-3. No punts. We kept the punter on the sideline, which is always good for an offense. And then we block a punt. We score. Defense gets a turnover. We'd like to finish the game off. You know, we'd like to stay on the field, score a touchdown. That's disappointing because offensively we'd like to use the clock and finish that game
but
off.
But there's no, like, you don't hear disappointment or frustration at all in him. It's basically like, hey, I did my job for the most part.
I remember the only time I played a really good game and scored a decent number of points in high school basketball, we lost the game by like 10, and parents are coming up, hey, nice game. And my coach saw me like enjoying a little bit too much that people were slapping me on the back. He's like, hey, we lost the game by 10.
I mean, Ben took time out of his press conference to wish his son a happy birthday.
Do you know what, you know what that tone of voice suggests to me? He played a game that he thought was good enough and showed his worth over the offensive coordinator enough. He's seeing dollar signs in 2022 and beyond.
4-1. Oh, boy.
Oh, you were ready to gloss over it. You don't think that that might be informing his chipper little attitude there? You don't think he might be saying, wait a minute, the guy that they think is the successor to me couldn't even beat the Detroit Lions, looked atrocious. I just threw three touchdowns and almost beat the next big thing in the league on the road, where the crowd actually sounded sort of loud like they wanted the Chargers to win at times. Maybe they are going to pay me actually after this year. That's what I heard there. I heard a man who thinks that the gravy train might not be done yet.
Well, he's on an unprecedented run right now of playing turnover-free football.
What if he throws, let's say there's three more games in a row. They go 1-2 because the defense gets lit up or something, but he doesn't turn the ball over and he's throwing one or two touchdowns. His agent, Ryan Tolner, is going to say to Kevin Colbert, you know, hey, Kevin, my guy went 8 games without turning the ball over and he threw 14 touchdowns.
You know what my reaction would be to that if it actually went down that way? I would say, I want to make one thing clear to you. You were not the problem this year, but you're also not the solution. We need a great quarterback to elevate our team. and give us a chance to win a Super Bowl.
I would agree
You're
with
not that.
That
anymore.
I would agree with that, but the problem I'm seeing is like there are way too many people. It's making me uneasy. Way too many people in the old social media peanut gallery who are like, their big takeaway from this game is the old Cowboys really still got it. Do you really want to lock yourself into another year of having to play offense a very specific way?
I don't think Tomlin does.
I hope he doesn't.
But I think the GM and the owner might say, well, we don't like the alternatives. We don't want to bring in
a free agent or trade Russell Wilson
for a quarterback. And we know that Tomlin doesn't want a 22-year-old, so this is what we'll do as a compromise. 40-year-old Ben Roethlisberger.
He doesn't want a 22-year-old, so presumably, again, if Justin Herbert became available, sorry.
Well, Justin Herbert now, because we saw him throw 30 touchdowns his rookie year, he knows he can get it done. But Justin Herbert out of Oregon?
Best case scenario for the Steelers quarterback next year to me, best case, is actually Russell Wilson because you have the longest presumable.
Although he didn't.
I know.
He just lost to Colt McCoy at home yesterday.
I know, but there's a background and a body of work there.
412-928-9370. We are opening up the phone lines because we want to get fans take a fan's perspective on this game. I think it's really open and up for debate and discussion. The takeaways from this game, the things that you're looking at in terms of positives or negatives, because they lost, but they scored 37 points. Ben didn't have a bad game, but they still lost. 412-928-9370. Here's Troy on the fan. Hello, Troy.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, man.
Just a couple quick points before I touch on Ben. I think from taking out of last night, the officiating this year has been terrible, and I think some rule changes really need to be implemented in the offseason.
Like what?
I just think they need to make the defense, let it be a little bit more physical, and I think that any call, if they're going to give challenges to coaches, there should be two challenges to each coaches, and anything in the game can be challenged and reviewed. If you get them both right, you get a third. If not, that's just how it is. But
so what happened last night about this game? What happened specifically that makes you feel like the officiating is a black eye for the NFL in this game?
I mean, the emphasis on everything is, you know, safety protocol. We had two helmet-to-helmet hits last night that could be changers in the game that were not called. One that may have caused a serious injury, but I think Najee may have had a concussion. He's just
well, that was forearm-to-helmet.
Yeah, but it was still.
Yeah, it was a miss by them. They did miss the call.
I mean, the
sure.
guy was so out of it. He like shoved the trainer or the doctor like he was an opposing player. Did you see that?
Well, I brought that up on Twitter, and I didn't want to like make Harris look bad because I wasn't trying to say he looks like what's he doing.
I don't think he had his wits about him completely, Malzi.
Which makes it very weird that he got back in the game.
I know.
Like that makes me uneasy as a guy. Like they're talking about Asante Samuel Jr. has a concussion and it's his second in a couple of weeks, and how they're concerned about it. Najee pushing away a team doctor, a trainer, and then coming back in 20 minutes later in real time is very strange, and it's a missed call. But here's the problem.
I don't want more replay as the
here's
solution.
The problem.
I don't want more reviews.
No, I'm going to tell you something. They did this with pass interference. I thought it would be good. I was stupid. I'm glad you can't review that anymore. Here's the problem. You would be asking and opening it up for officials to review their own judgment calls.
Mm-hmm.
How often is an official going to say, boy, you know, I got to look at that judgment call play here?
Well, that's why pass
intent.
Interference almost never got overturned.
That's what I mean. That's why that was so stupid, because you were asking those officials to say, hey, look at your own work.
Because it was a subjective thing. It's not black and white, like out of bounds or did the ball cross the goal line or anything like that. I agree with you.
Yeah, well, it'd be like asking us to evaluate the work we do. Like I might say, oh, yeah, all my shows suck.
So it's beauty in the eye of the beholder sort of deal.
Yes.
Yeah. I do think he's right, though, that those were two pretty big missed calls.
Oh, that's what frustrates me. Like sometimes I think that fans are way too quick to go, oh, the refs screwed us. But it is frustrating when your guy doesn't get that call. I was shocked, actually, that Bosa got called for unnecessary roughness on Roethlisberger. Because like if that happened to Cam Hayward on Herbert, I would be kind of annoyed because he just shoved him. But that's how wanton and how kind of like hit or miss it is from game to game.
Well, the problem
is
that they don't treat everybody the same. For example, if Najee Harris or Cam Sutton are a quarterback, that gets called. They're not looking for hits to the head as much with non-quarterback players in the league. The point of emphasis is about the quarterback and not the other guys on the field. And they definitely care more about the way guys celebrate in the NFL right now than anything else.
Well, that's what's important. Kids are watching. Is there a rule in college where if they see a player who's down, they like can automatically buzz have it buzz down to them to go look at the play? Like if a guy looks like he got hit in the head, like
well,
that.
Yeah, that's what the targeting thing
so
is.
So that's my point. Why can't you? Like,
well, there can be no flag on the play. They buzz
they
down and they can throw a flag and then eject a guy from the game.
So what is there to stop them at the NFL level from somebody up top? Just said there is somebody up top who's looking at that says, hold on. The running back
but again,
just took a forearm shiver right to the head.
I don't want to be like
could you
that.
Have looked at that specific play, though, and said, oh, wait a minute, that's not just bad luck, wrong place, wrong time. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was trying to hit him with a flying forearm.
Yeah.
If you can adjudicate that like a normal person in about 10 seconds, then you should be able to have that be part of the
menu. I think Stephon Tuitt got thrown out of a game against Pitt.
He hit Tom Savage like that.
Yep. Here is Carol on the fan. Hello, Carol.
Hey guys.
Hi, Carol.
Carol, hey. Why didn't Cook and Joe take your call today? What's that all about?
I didn't call them today.
Oh, good. Okay. What's up?
But I did listen to them.
Did they have any good points?
That's one of the things I want to bring up. Cookie, I'm going back to your Melvin Ingram discussion, and you know, Cookie said that Tomlin's known as a player's coach, but he wasn't able to. You know, convince him to stay. And I say he's not a player's coach. He's a coach that gets played. These guys know exactly what to do if they don't like what's going on to get off that team.
Well, here we are.
We had to put a bunch of guys out there last night instead of having someone with some experience that might have made a difference. Defense lost that game last night.
Now, did Pompeiani or Joe bring up the point that you just did with us?
No.
Well, that's... Guess what? I agree with you.
Hey, Carol, this is why we open up the floodgates, because we know, or at least we hope, that you're going to come in with not only a great point, but Craig, he's not a player's coach. He's a coach that gets played.
Carol, that's a very good point. That would be like if Chris with his kid, if he cried and he threw a temper tantrum, and then Chris just gave him candy or whatever the hell he wanted. That's what Tomlin's done with James Harrison and LeGarrette Blount and now Melvin Ingram.
I know. They all do it. As soon as they decide things aren't going the way they want, and, you know, they all want to play for him. Well, Bell didn't want to play for him. Antonio Brown didn't want to play for him. They just don't want to get away from him. I think he's a buffoon.
Thank you, Carol.
Wow. I don't think he's a buffoon, but I do think the point of guys want to get out of here and they find it very easy to engineer their way out of town is fair. How could it not be?
If I were an agent and I had a guy that signed a one-year deal with the Steelers, I would say this to them. Hey, go there.
Test the water.
How you like it. And if you get fed up after a few games, just threaten not to play and practice and you'll get on another team. And it'll probably be a team that's close to winning a Super Bowl. So it'll be a win-win for all of us. Seriously.
I think the player's coach part might be true to some degree. He motivates guys. The guys who like him really like him. But the other part where you could see his reputation spreading as a player's coach is guys go, you can get out of there too. If you don't like it, you can pout, and he won't, because you're a veteran, he won't hold it against you, but he will try to help facilitate a move out of town if you make it ugly enough.
See,
He's a coach who gets played.
Belichick will try to foist you on, like, oh, you don't want to play here? I'll trade you to the Lions.
Hey, the Jaguars are looking for somebody.
Like that's what he did with Jamie Collins and
the Browns.
He was ready to do that with Gronkowski, trade him to the Lions. But remember, Brady intervened and went to Kraft and was like, "If he does this, I'm done here."
God, it's good to have Tom Brady as a friend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Carol and Clinton just smoke.
See, that's why on a day like this, when the Steelers lose. But there were some good things that came out of the game. They were an underdog. They almost stormed back and won. You talk to fans because you want to get a feel for what their take or what their opinion is on the game. And then you get somebody like Carol comes through, and as a host, you say, thank you. That's why we're here. That's why we do this. That's why we serve a purpose. That's why we're on the air. To open things up for a woman like Carol to speak her mind.
Safety's off when Carol calls in. Was she calling from a casino or like a hospital?
I heard.
There was either the Mulsey computer going in the background or there was a slot machine.
That is the woman of Craig's dreams. If she was like sitting at
the penny slots at the Rivers, just hammering away.
She's pulling the. And another thing.
You imagine she's got a cig in one hand.
Gambling at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and listening to sports talk radio. I didn't even know that existed.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I wonder what the Steelers' record is when they block a punt in a game. Under Mike Tomlin. In the Danny Smith chewing bubblegum and kicking ass era.
Mm-hmm. Funny you should ask that, because I was trying to dig up something very similar to that stat. It was going to be block a punt and intercept a pass. And yet, I can't seem to make that work on the old StatHead website to get me that kind of good info. They only chart punts taken back for a touchdown, not blocked. You would think that I could find that out. But I'm willing to bet, Pony, that when they do both of those things in a game, there are very few losses on the ledger. Very few.
I think we saw the future of the quarterback position up close with Herbert. I think there are qualities in Herbert that remind me of a young Roethlisberger, where he moves well, his arm, he can pretty much throw it across his body, outside the hash, outside the numbers. You know, everybody's pretty much a target on every play because the quarterback can find a way to get the ball there. It's just, when you play Jared Goff and you watch Mason Rudolph, you're like, well, Roethlisberger's better than both of these guys. You know, there still is a place for him in the NFL. And then you watch Justin Herbert and it reminds you, holy crap, this is what a great young quarterback looks like.
Well, it looks like that evolutionary chart, like where you see man of
Homo erectus?
Early man, knuckles still on the ground, then gets a little bit higher. Justin Herbert's like the version of that guy who's sprinting at the other end.
Have you ever watched 2001 A Space Odyssey?
I have not.
I watched it Friday.
Congratulations.
But it reminded me the evolutionary. Stanley Kubrick's a weird guy.
Was.
Dead?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dead. Dead.
Like Vern Troyer?
Yes. Clockwork Orange, things of that nature.
Now that Vern Troyer is no longer with us, who takes up the mantle as the number one celebrity Steelers fan? Snoop?
Wait, I thought Snoop was a bigger deal than Troyer. Definitely was. What about Joe Manganiello? Your Sofia Vergara's, things of that nature?
I like Joe a lot. Joe follows me on Twitter.
Oh, congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
Does
Joe follow you yet, Craig?
I'll have to check.
He might be listening right now. So, Joe, follow Craig. He's the boss here at the Fan.
No follow.
No, he definitely doesn't follow me.
He was in studio once with Cook and me, and you should have seen the females at the office. I've never seen them. It was like we were a zoo exhibit, and they were pressed up against the glass here watching us do
the
show.
Was it like when Joe was doing Radio Row at the Super Bowl the first year the station existed, and he interviewed Brooklyn Decker and basically like didn't know what to say? What was his infamous question there? It was something like, how long have you been married? And he said, like, so how's that? Or something, just something.
You're
like,
married to Andy Roddick. So how's that?
It was pretty much like, remember that old Chris Farley show bit on Saturday Night Live where he would say, remember when you were in the Beatles? That was awesome.
Yes.
Remember when he was like, remember when you did that movie with Adam Sandler?
Yeah, that was
awesome. A good movie. All right. We are the only show that's really opened things up for fans because I think it's an interesting game to find out how fans feel, because it's not a black and white. You're either super pissed or you're ecstatic. There's a lot of gray area to this game. The result's a loss, but Ben looked good and you were super shorthanded on defense. So I'd love to hear how Steelers fans feel about this one at 412-928-9370. Can you follow up the great Carroll in Clinton's call? Is there anybody that wants to step into the batter's box after she said, Mike Tomlin is a player's coach? Actually, he's a coach that gets played.
Fire. She's spitting flames here. What else are you supposed to say?
Craig heard that and said, do we have a weekend shift I could give to Carol?
Can you just imagine Carol? Hello, this is Carolyn Clinton. And then what follows is like 1 hour of just the most vicious takes.
She sounds like she'd bake you oatmeal raisin cookies and, you know,
calmly dissect everything you love in
this
world.
No, I don't want it calm. I want like the first caller to her show.
No, but that's what I mean.
Destroys.
That's what I mean. She kills you with kindness in her voice, and then she just absolutely rips you to shreds. Yeah.
Hey, Carol, glad to have you on the Fan here. And make a point. Oh, honey, that's such a nice thought, but it's really, really stupid.
That just may be the dumbest thing I've heard.
I love Carol. I'd love to watch a Steelers game with Carol. You think she's got some pigs in a blanket?
No, she's knitting and cussing. There are two things. Oh, and it's like, and it's all done in Carol's very calm voice where there's F-bombs and this and that. Carol, if you're listening and you're offended because you'd never use that language, I apologize. But I like to imagine Carol knitting, baking, and getting very, very angry.
I like that
angry.
She monitors the radio station for takes that she doesn't like.
And she's always very
sharp on
it. Yeah, I heard
Cook. He was out of his mind. All right, here's Matt on the Fan. Hello, Matt.
Hey, before I go and delve into my theory on the Steelers, you said you watched Space Odyssey, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what was the name of the evil villain supercomputer?
I actually know this. HAL 2000.
Yep.
HAL. Correct. And you said Kubrick was a strange guy, right?
Well, just based on that movie, I kind of came to that conclusion. Yeah, why? Am I wrong?
Well, no, I'm just saying. So you realize the underlying theme behind that was like, you know, during the time that he did this film, it was regarding the takeover of technology. So if you minus or subtract one letter from HAL, what company do you get? Or add one letter to HAL.
I don't know. What are we doing here?
IBM.
What?
Yep.
Oh, you add one letter up in the alphabet each one.
So
you're saying he was kind of ahead of his time, Kubrick. He was actually...
So Kubrick was very anti-international business machines.
He was onto something, maybe.
Correct. He was, as a symbol of advanced technology leading to the demise or regression.
All right, can't we get a supercomputer that can call some good freaking plays for Matt Canada then? Hasn't technology advanced to the point where we could get a couple decent runs dialed up here?
Well, that transitions into my commentary regarding all of everybody calling up asking, you know, why aren't they running Najee more and why aren't they doing this on defense?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem.
Okay.
We definitely picked, I think, in my opinion, the best running back in the NFL. Obviously, if he had a better offensive line, he would overshadow everybody else.
But
the problem is our offensive line is complete trash, dude. You can't do anything with
it. So they bought the tires and the hubcaps before they got themselves a solid car, is what you're telling us, basically.
They don't have a foundation for a house. Therefore, mm-hmm. the drywall is going to collapse to the ground.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All three of us built a house in the last year, so that resonates.
But guess what? Matt, you're not telling us anything we didn't know. We said that at the draft and in free agency. What are you doing? You're doing it ass backwards. You're getting the running back. You don't have
a line for him. What would you rather have all of you right now? Trade down out of the first round, Creed Humphrey, still have Freiermuth, and have a random running back from the third round or later.
I would prefer that because I think it honestly all starts with the center, and I think he's garbage.
He's getting put on skates.
I think he stinks.
Everyone tells you, even the people that are trying to be optimistic, well, he could get stronger, but he just can't do it during the season. Guess what they need?
You know what I think is coming back to bite the Steelers with Green? Craig knows this from all his time on baseball. It's a small sample size problem. With Green.
Well, it's also assuming that a guy can play center in the Big Ten for 200 snaps.
But think about this. So when you invest a high pick in a guy who has very little experience, there's a huge boom-bust potential there. You're either stealing the guy because there's not enough data out there on him, and so people don't know if he's really good or not, so you take a chance and a risk on him, and you get proven right because if he had played 2 years at center— he would have been a first-round pick, which is pretty much what Colbert intimated. Or you find out because he's done it so little that he's actually... It's like Dwayne Haskins at quarterback at Ohio State. He's only a starter for 1 year. Put up great numbers in like 11 games. Kenny Pickett's the exact opposite. It took him like 50 games to get to this point. So that's what I think they got hoodwinked by.
They saw Green barely play center and thought,
well, he's going to be a great one, and we're going to get him in the third round.
Craig, better Pirates example.
Oh, no, don't do this to him.
Well, Pony doesn't understand this because he wasn't plugged into the Pirates, so it's not top of mind. Everybody else seemed to have him as a guard, right? A lot of people thought if he profiles as an NFL player, it's as a guard. It's like drafting John Van Benskoten and saying, we're going to make the best bat in college a starting pitcher.
I still get the shakes hearing that name.
Sadly, I think Pony actually knew where I was headed because he is such a baseball nerd. It's saying that everybody else has that guy as a guard. We're going to make him a center. We're the cradle of centers.
Man, another good call. I don't know why the other shows didn't take calls. Matt, it's like having the foundation.
It took him forever, but we got there.
And the drywall collapses on you.
He's given us knowledge about Stanley Kubrick, and then he's making house analogies. Our callers are the best.
Do you think it's because we rub off on them, or do you think they feel like they need to push us up?
I think they understand that there's a level of discourse that's been established on this show, and you've got to jump on board a moving train to get on the PM team.
Ugh, don't steal Tomlin's cliches. Here's Stan on the fan. Hello, Stan.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
thanks,
man.
For taking my call.
Anytime, Stan. I know you bring it. What do you got for us?
I'm on the south side. Calling because you guys are talking about Canada. But I think the real problem is Butler. Their defense is very porous.
Okay.
They don't know how to use Devin Bush correctly.
Well, how would you use Devin Bush? If I said, Stan on the south side, you're going to be the Steelers defensive coordinator, make Devin Bush into a good player, what would you do?
I would put him as an edge rusher at this point. Oh, he's lousy. He's a linebacker. He's fast. He's strong. And I think he could get the job.
When you have a guy as an edge rusher, the offensive linemen try to stop them. Have you seen what happens when an offensive lineman engages on Devin Bush?
Yeah, when a left tackle gets his paws on Devin Bush, he's going to pick him up.
It's going
like
to be like somebody's uncle giving them a goodbye hug on a holiday.
Well, he would be better than Taco Charlton, I think,
at this point. Oh, well, two Michigan men who are just bathing themselves in glory. I thought he was going to say the best way to use Devin Bush would be he's handing Gatorade cups to his teammates on the sideline while he sits on left bench.
But do you know his assignments?
Man, that is going to become a day that will live in infamy, the day Devin Bush Sr. called into Paul Zeiss and lectured everybody.
And you
about
know what? It actually speaks to Paul's ability to irritate people on Twitter. Because if Paul didn't say Devin Bush couldn't play dead in a Western, Devin Bush Sr. would have never ended up on our airwaves.
I know.
Here's Jimmy on the fan. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great show.
Thanks.
First off, I'm long-suffering Detroit resident here, and so I adopted another team 40-some years ago.
Smart.
Steelers. But the thing is, though, is, you know, they watch so closely on Cam's little jab. That this is my first point, his little jab there. But did you guys see the forearm shiver that Najee took going
down? Big miss.
Yeah, they missed
it. He goes in the 10. He goes – I mean, they didn't see that? And then the last thing that's probably not going to be very popular is – if T.J. Watt sits out this week, he will have, sit, have got that money and sat out half the season.
Thank you. Okay, so he's missed.
He missed the Cincy game. He missed part of the Raiders game. Did he miss the...
missed a big chunk of last week.
Did he miss the Packers game?
No, he played, but he didn't look right. Remember when Aaron Rodgers ran it in for a touchdown, he could barely try to track him down.
Okay, so he was compromised or injured in two of those three games, didn't play in the other one. Then if he were to miss this or miss another game, it would be 5 out of 11.
Yeah, I would say this.
All of or whatever.
I would say this. If it looked like he got an injury that was a result of not training in the offseason and not having himself ready for football because he was doing his hold-in, I would be critical of him. He slammed his knee against Joe Schobert's. It was a complete freak play.
So like he's a got, hamstring or a groin is less defensible.
Yes, he's got 12 and a half sacks.
Yeah, he came back from the groin injury and seemed
so
fine.
I would agree with Jimmy, not the most popular take to have. If I thought he was milking it and didn't want to play, you know, there are some guys on the team like, I don't know, Joe Hayden. He might think, if I go out and play at less than 100% and I get exposed, that's going to hurt my ability to get a contract. But Watt already has the contract. So... I don't know. He's the last guy on the team that I want to
all
question.
All I thought about with T.J. Watt not being there was how bad it sucked that he wasn't on the field.
They
not
are winless whether, when he doesn't play.
Not whether or not T.J. Watt is busting his ass enough to get back there.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Cam Hayward, they'll look into it for a fine, no suspension. What was he trying to do there, though? He looked like a man, a very disgruntled older man who was ticked off at his kids that he left them with a job to do when he was at work. Like, hey, can you like take out the garbage or put your clothes away? And he comes home and the house is a mess and he's just
he doesn't
livid.
Want to punch a wall, but he wants to bang his hand on
he
the countertop.
He just looked like he was, I think, running past two Steelers who were face down on the turf because they had Keystone Cops, Three Stooges style, ran into each other. And he had to, like, clean up their mess and run downfield and make
disappointed
the play,
dad.
Set him off. Yep.
That was a very relatable position for him to be in. Disappointed father.
Do you think he should win, or let me ask you this question. Do you think he is a better candidate for Defensive Player of the Year than T.J. Watt?
No.
Why?
Watt is better.
I know he's better.
More productive.
What are you basing more productivity on, just sacks?
I mean, 12 and a half sacks. How many games has T.J. Watt almost directly won for them? The Seattle game.
Okay.
With a strip sack. Huge in the Buffalo game for them. Fell on a crucial fumble in the Cleveland game.
Hayward was the highest graded player in that game against Buffalo.
Okay.
Even better than Watt.
I think Cam Hayward is great. I think Cam Hayward is going to get at least fringe Hall of Fame consideration because he's having such an unbelievable late career. But I think T.J. Watt is better and more deserving as a Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
See, I would say Hayward because he's played in every game.
What is their record in games Watt hasn't played?
0-2.
What is their record in games Watt's had to leave early or miss significant chunks of?
I think they've lost both of those games, too.
Okay. That suggests to me that he has massive amounts
by
of value
that logic, but by that logic, the year that Peyton Manning missed because of his neck injury and they sunk to the bottom of the NFL, he should have been the MVP that year.
Was he still technically on their roster at
yes.
that point? Yeah, but he didn't play at all. You have to play to become the MVP.
So if Manning had played week one and they lose their next 15 games, that's Chris Mueller's MVP?
If the Steelers had started 2-0 the year Ben tore his elbow up and then lost 14 straight games, I think you could have made
listen
a
to this
clear
guy.
Case.
You hear that, Craig?
MVC, most valuable cowboy.
Watt or Hayward?
Hayward. He actually plays. I mean, I'm dogging Watt here, but he's just not out there a bunch. It'd really be hard to give a guy defensive player of the year nod.
That's what I'm saying.
He's not playing a bunch.
Well, this sounds like a boss who doesn't want us to take vacations.
Starkey asked me about that in the hall.
And?
I told him denied before he even sent it.
What was he asking for?
He said, do I send you my vacation request? And I said, they're all denied. Don't bother.
Think, Ron, that Craig isn't joking around and that he actually hates me.
When people say rule with an iron fist, who are they getting that from? Who was the first person to actually ball up their hands into a fist so powerful and strong that it was made of iron and it came crashing down on their
That Arthur meme.
The Arthur meme?
Yeah. Is that the cartoon where his fist?
Oh, yeah. They called Margaret Thatcher the Iron Lady. In Great Britain when she was the prime minister.
Who was ruling with an iron fist before anybody else?
Your iron curtain in the Soviet Union, there was that. Your steel curtain for the Steelers. I don't know. Was Genghis Khan an iron-fisted ruler?
I would say
Alexander
so.
The Great? Caesars? Some of the Did they even know what iron was
in the age
of Caesar?
I don't think they did back in the Roman era.
They had bronze.
Empire.
They had bronze, but that was it.
Yeah, if it started then, we would call it ruling with a bronze fist.
Right. So, you know what this is? Yes. I think it's post-industrial revolution. It has
so
to be.
So you're saying maybe the Soviets.
I think your Soviets is where it started.
Maybe Stalin was the first to get on board with the iron fist.
Oh, he ruled with a crazy fist, my friend.
Google says it's a religious proverb.
Really?
A 16th century religious proverb.
Oh, so like Martin Luther's out there. You know, an iron fist sounds like a great term here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.